Tech in classrooms doesn't guarantee better learning. It can actually make things worse. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. Everyone wants the best education possible for kids. And for a long time, tech has promised to revolutionize and improve classroom teaching. As school districts have incorporated more devices into their curricula, it hasn't always correlated with gains in learning. In fact, a recent Wall Street Journal article pointed out falling test scores in Baltimore County, Maryland, a district that jumped into digital. Nationwide, some parents are even pushing back against too much screen time in class. Daniel Willingham is a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia and researches how we learn. He said balancing tech's promise and its realities has been a learning experience of its own.
Maybe about 15 or 20 years ago, there was enormous optimism about the use of technology in classrooms because it obviously enabled things that you just can't do with a typical blackboard alone, or if kids are working on individual devices, the software can sort of tune its progress to how fast or slow the child is learning. And so you should be able to pitch practice to the child that's at exactly the right level. So 15 or 20 years ago, I think a lot of us were thinking there's almost no way this can go wrong. The advantages are so enormous that this is bound to be a big benefit. And it sounds a little funny now in retrospect. We were all pretty naive. I mean, now it's become plain. Actually, you can write bad software for learning and software where kids would be much better off without the technology.
When it comes to the promise that tech gives and what it actually delivers, how do we kind of strike the right balance?
That's a great question. And, you know, this is still in its infancy and people are working feverishly trying to figure it out. I think one sort of lens that's useful to think about is the extent to which tech loses the human interaction element. And I think a lot of times when people are evaluating what technological solutions to learning could do for us, they were really underestimating the human touch of the teacher. And they were thinking someone's sitting in front of a screen and sort of like all they're doing is kind of absorbing information. So if it's presenting information, then you're good to go. And they were losing sight of the fact that, yeah, but it's different when you're learning from a person and you have a relationship with that person. That makes you care a little bit more about what they think, and it makes you a little bit more willing to put forth effort. All of that gets lost when you're just working in front of a computer. So people have been thinking more about kind of mixing things up more frequently, and rather than having, say, a 45-minute session in front of a computer, it's going to be more where the students are bouncing back and forth between an activity or two on the screen, and then they're going to interact with the teacher again, and then back to the screen and so forth.
So then is there a kind of software that you've seen or a tech usage that you think, hey, they've got it figured out, it's working?
You know, yes, but not one that I would like go on record as saying this is the fabulous. You know, I've definitely been in classrooms where I've seen teachers using technology effectively. Sometimes it's a smart whiteboard. Actually, frequently I've seen teachers using smart whiteboards effectively. I've seen bits of software that seem really engaging. But again, it's all kind of piecemeal at this point, rather than, you know, as a researcher, I'm always looking for consistency. If it doesn't work in all contexts for all kids, I want to be able to describe which context it works in for which kids. And we're not really there yet for anything.
What about the flip side of it? Have you seen any software that you've thought, oh my God, this is terrible?
Yeah, mostly. And a lot of times what it is it's the frills, it's the bells and whistles. So it's basically a fractions worksheet, and it's got, you know, a dancing hamster on it and a little mouse in the bottom with a cowboy hat going yee-haw. So there's plenty of stuff like that that's really not enriching or interesting or any different than you could do on paper, except for some sort of trivial bells and whistles.
Daniel Willingham is a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia. By the way, he says the impetus to get tech into classrooms, Parents often pressure districts because they don't want their kids getting left behind. I just know I'm going to be one of those parents. I got some related links for you. We've got a link to the Wall Street Journal story that looks at parents rebelling against tech, notably in some Maryland school districts. With so little research showing benefits, many see harm in the extra screen time. One mother's even chosen to homeschool her kids to keep them away from iPad-focused free time. An interesting stat? Only 22% of apps for one school district had yet been vetted by teachers and administrators. Meanwhile, an op-ed in EdTech makes the case for incorporating technology as a part of blended learning. The writer says AI, virtual reality headsets, and augmented reality could make blended learning even more successful. The piece doesn't point to research into benefits of tech, but does highlight some schools that appear to have boosted test scores as a result. In Princeton Alumni Weekly, one student takes on the question of whether laptops are a distraction in the classroom. It reminds me of my East Asian Civilizations class at the University of Chicago, where there was a kid who'd sit in the front row, like right in front of the professor, and play Super Mario all class long. He probably got a better grade than I did, too. For a different take on tech in classrooms, let's travel across the ocean to Nanjing. According to the South China Morning Post, facial recognition cameras have been installed at China Pharmaceutical University. The aim is to prompt better performance from students. It'll help instructors track who's attending, who's sleeping, and who's paying attention. The program has been piloted in two classrooms and has been criticized for taking images of students without their permission. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.